Hi, everybody. This is Shamira Young from Zenjoyable.com, and I have another awesome interview for you today for our Pro Photographer Interview Series, episode number 2. Today, we talk to Phil Ebener. He's a 24-year-old dynamo, and basically, his entire life has been involved in education as either a student, a tutor, or an online instructor. Half of his life has been entranced in photography and video, and he prides himself on being on top of all the new trends in the video world. And just to let you know, any resources and links that we discuss in the interview, I will include those in the show notes. So let's get to it. Hi, everybody. I'm hanging with Phil Ebener, and I'm so excited to just chill and chat with him. I want to thank you, Phil, for just taking time out of your busy schedule to share some of your photography expertise with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here and looking forward to our chat.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, first of all, I just want everybody to learn a bit about you, your past, your history. Give us an overview of yourself and your background. How did you end up where you are now as a photographer?
Yeah, so let's go back a ways. I'm 24 now, so I'm recently out of college and a working professional now.
Very good.
But where I started as a photographer was just, you know, being a kid, taking pictures with my old little film camera. And really, I got into it more when my grandpa gave me his black and white camera, an old Minolta. And I started taking pictures with that in high school. I took a black and white photography class, and, you know, I was in the lab developing my own photos, which was a great experience and something that a lot of photographers my age or older now have experienced, but you know, photographers in the future aren't going to experience that at all. So that was like a really neat process, just seeing, you know, how photos were actually developed and printed onto paper. And really, in those years, I was thinking, oh, it'd be so cool to be like a sports photographer or an action sports photographer. I loved, you know, going down to the skate park or going down to the beach and taking photos of like surfers and skateboarders. And I thought, oh, that'd be a cool career.
Mm-hmm.
Through high school, I got more and more into video. So I switched from photography to video, and I ended up going to school at Loyola Marymount University for film production. They have a great film school there in Los Angeles. And so I really switched from doing photography to basically doing video full time. That was what my passion was. That's what I was learning. In school, I got to travel. I was blessed to travel around the world, studying abroad and on some volunteering trips. And nice. I got to make some documentaries in Europe and India. I went to Mexico.
Oh, my goodness.
And yeah, it was an amazing experience. I feel so blessed to, you know, have been a part of that. And, you know, now I'm feeling the pain paying off my student loans, but it was worth it. And, you know, I'll always have those experiences and those memories of being, you know, just opening my eyes to the world. And of course, when I was traveling, I was taking pictures, you know, left and right. And that's, again, when I started getting more back into photography. And so after school, I landed some jobs doing more video production, video editing. But recently, I had a position for a year at a school, at a small college in Orange County, California, mm-hmm. where it was split. It was half video and half photography. And so the thing about me is I never, aside from, you know, one high school class and just playing around with my camera, I had never had any really professional experience or schooling experience at a higher level of photography. And so I got this job and I was a little nervous because I knew that my photography skills weren't as high as my video skills.
Mm-hmm.
So that was last year. So that was all of 2012. I was at this position, and it was probably one of the best experiences that I could have had, because I was kind of thrown into this photography thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking, you know, it was event photography, it was marketing photography, which was something that I had never really dealt with. So I was dealing with hiring models and shooting models,
mm-hmm.
In like classroom settings. I really, you know, learned the ins and outs of editing photographs with the help of a design team. So coming from a graphic design perspective, like mm-hmm. learning what photos will work, what photos won't work, and, you know, how, you know, before going into a shoot, basically having the exact photo that I need or want for this particular advertisement or program or whatever it is. So that year, that was all 2012 and into early 2013, it was a great experience. And that's where I get a lot of my professional photography experience. And now I'm doing more freelance video stuff now, but mm-hmm. I also love taking photos. I love traveling and doing travel photography. And so, yeah, that's my background.
You know, there's nothing like learning on the job. On the job experience. Mm-hmm. One thing that I've always said is that, and this is true for many of my peers. I went to an art school where we studied photography, among many other things, but really, I always said that the real education starts after you graduate and you're put into real world situations where there are certain expectations that are placed on you, or you're working with a team and you just soak up and you absorb so much. Also,
exactly.
Yeah, and your travel photography, I wanted to touch on that. That's actually something I noticed in the online courses that you create. You had a course on travel photography, and
yeah.
Those traveling experiences are just priceless all around the world that you travel, just taking photo and video. And I may have to pick your brain on that a little bit later, or maybe that's a whole nother conversation.
Well, yeah, and just going off what you were saying about, you know, learning on the job all throughout film school for the video end of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, I learned 95% of what I learned in film school actually doing my projects and working on the student film sets.
Mm-hmm.
In class, I learned a few of the basics, but yeah, you really got to get out there and try this stuff to really learn and grow as a photographer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how would you describe your current style right now?
So I guess my current style would be a more photojournalistic documentarian style. And I think that's what comes from my video professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of documentary work. What I'm passionate is about, like, finding that story that people haven't heard and capturing it through video and telling it through a documentary. And so that's where my photography goes as well. So I'm always trying to capture stories that haven't been told through a photo, and or capturing things in a new light, because nowadays with camera phones and photos being taken of everything, everything is being over photographed. And
yes,
you know, so
I agree.
You go, even if you're traveling and you go see like a famous monument or whatever, there's a bajillion photos of that online, and probably the same photo that you took
mm-hmm.
a minute ago or whatever. So I'm always trying to find ways to, I guess, photograph something in a new light or find the photos that haven't been taken yet. So yeah, my style, I guess, is more photojournalistic, and right now I'm not actively seeking new photography clients. You know, some things come up, like, if someone needs family pic portraits for their Christmas card or whatever, and I'll take that on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a couple of those in the next couple of weeks, but I've just been so busy with video stuff and teaching online courses that I haven't had time to take on more photo stuff right now.
Okay. And that photojournalistic style, that's becoming big in wedding photography. I'm seeing that all over the place, and it's really just a beautiful style of photography.
Yeah, definitely. Gone are the days of having, you know, a standard photographer or standard video of your, even with video for weddings, it's all about that documentary style and, you know, capturing those small moments close up or, you know, having all those different artistic angles. And I look at, you know, my parents' photo albums, and it's so different than the way that photographers shoot weddings nowadays.
Absolutely. And what you were saying about everybody having a camera on their phone, that is so, so true, even at weddings. I was talking about this in another interview with another photographer, how you can be there and you're trying to get the shot, and everybody around you has their phone up in the air, and they're standing next to you, so they're getting a very similar angle to you. And before the night is over, there are so many photos up on Facebook that other people have taken.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing now at weddings. You just have, like, an Instagram hashtag, and all the photos are already online by the end of the night. It's crazy.
Yes, yes. It drives me a little bit crazy, but that's, you know, that's the way things are. They change. I'm curious to see where things will be even 10 years from now with photography.
Yeah.
So, how do you get yourself inspired for a photo shoot?
Yeah, so I guess this brings me back to being at my old position and prepping and planning for, you know, the biggest photo shoots that I've ever done, where we had models coming in and posing as students. You know, I spent a lot of time looking online at other similar photography, or if there was like a marketing material where, for example, it was a nurse. We had a nursing program, so we wanted to take photos of our students or our models in our nursing labs, in their scrubs, and actually working with equipment. And so we spent a lot of time searching online for photographs that would work in our marketing material, and then we would just transfer it to, you know, do it ourselves. And so A lot of it is just, you know, looking online, trying to find photographs that inspire me, finding photographs that, you know, are an interesting angle or perspective that I wouldn't think of. Just getting inspired by looking at other people's art.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of us do. I certainly do that myself when getting ready for a particular shoot. There are so many creative ways to do things that it really helps to see what other photographers have done. Now, next, I want to ask you about your tools of the trade as far as your photography gear. What is your go-to gear for your typical shoot today? So let's say you're going to take Christmas photos for friends or family. What would you take with you to that shoot?
Yeah, so I'm a Canon guy.
Canon 5D.
And I still don't own too many lenses of my own, but, you know, I have a nice 50mm prime, 24mm prime. I use the 24-70mm a lot in video, and so I like taking that out, and I feel like that's a good lens, especially not just for, you know, portrait shot. I would probably use another lens for portrait shots, but when I'm traveling, that's a great lens. It can get a lot of shots that I need, and I don't have to carry around too many lenses.
Okay.
And then I love the 70-200 when I'm at like a sporting event or something like that, where I need a little bit more close-up shot. So I've got my Canon camera. I definitely love, I think this is a question that you're going to ask, but one accessory that I love to bring is my monopod. And again, this comes from my video background. A lot of photographers I don't see using, you know, monopods and tripods, and maybe it's because they've had more experience, their hands are a little bit more steady, but I love bringing my monopod to shoots, just because I can, you know, I don't have to worry about, you know, opening up the f-stop and, you know, cranking down the shutter speed, and I know that I'll still have a picture that's clear. And I try to use a lot of natural light, so I'm not too big into, you know, bringing flashes or bringing a lot of lighting gear.
Okay.
So yeah, I run a pretty bare bones shoot, I would say.
Yeah, and when you're traveling, that definitely becomes a necessity. Just curious, are you shooting video with your 5D?
Yeah, so I use the DSLR for video as well.
Nice. Very nice. And yes, you did beat me to my next question. That's perfectly fine about your favorite photography accessory that you have. I've seen, you know, I don't use the monopod myself, but I've seen people use it. Not as much as a tripod. At my old workplace, they had one. And I kind of looked at it sitting in the corner, but I never actually grabbed it. But I do see how that can be handy.
I mean, I think from a video perspective, it's a lot easier to run around with it than a tripod. You don't have to set it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a tripod's great. You're going to need those long exposures, or you just don't want to be holding the camera when you're taking a photo sometimes. But the monopod just allows me to kind of run around, you know, snap photos and have that extra stability.
Definitely, definitely. Next, I want to ask you about your post-production workflow. Can you describe to us what your workflow is like after you've taken the photos at your photo shoot? What kind of software you like to use?
Yeah, so I love Adobe Lightroom. That's what I use to do most of my photo editing.
Mm-hmm.
So after I take photos, I am big on organization as well. So
definitely.
Lots and lots of levels of folders on my computer, all date coded and everything. So it's easy for me to find my photos after after I take them.
Right.
And so, yeah, I'll just bring my photos into Lightroom, do the basic touch-ups, make sure that exposure is right, always shooting in RAW so that I can play with, you know, make sure that the darks are bright enough and the highlights aren't too bright. You know, make sure that the color balance is right. And if I want to, I'll add a little warmth to it, make it a little bit cooler. One thing I tend to do a lot is, especially for my landscape photography, is cropping my images to a wider format.
Okay.
So Lightroom is my favorite, and, I just do basic edits, nothing too intense with it, though.
Okay. And I like what you were saying about organization as well, because when you come from a photo shoot and you've taken like 1,000 photos or 1,500 photos, organization really does become a big part of your workflow after that point. And even trying to find a particular photo in the future, just having it organized can make your life a whole lot easier. A whole lot easier, and I've learned that the hard way. So next, I'd like to talk about lessons learned. I'd really like to pick your brain about the most common mistake that you have seen professional photographers make. And also, that can include yourself, if you so choose. It's up to you.
That's great. I think that a big mistake that I see young photographers making, just people that are trying to break into the business, is just the fact that they don't have a website or a portfolio. I know so many people that, you know, claim to be photographers, but when you ask them, okay, where can I see your stuff, they don't even have a website or a nice portfolio to see their work on.
Yeah.
And so it takes a lot of time to, you know, sit down, come up with a nice theme, find a place to host your photography. But, you know, it's just surprising me, like, when people, and this goes for video too, you know, a lot of people, you know, want to break into the business, but they don't have work to show they just don't have anything to show for themselves. And so from a very young age, you know, I was always trying to put stuff online, put my videos online, put my photos online, and it's really helped me because I've gotten countless clients and countless jobs just from people seeing my work online. And just like in video, I have to have a great demo reel where I show you all, you know, the best shots and the best graphics that I can do in video. You know, for photography is the same. You have to have a website that shows your work. And then another mistake that I see probably more amateurs making, because I get a lot of people asking me, you know, what my tips are from people that aren't photographers or are just starting out, especially in the classes that I'm teaching online. And it's just to shoot with the raw settings. I know it's they're huge files and it's going to take up a lot of room, but people just don't know what they are and when they're starting out. They don't know how to use them properly. And so shooting in raw settings will give you so much more room to edit your photos afterwards.
Yes.
It's just amazing. You know, I'm sure a lot of listeners, you know about that stuff, and I don't want to get into too much detail, but, you know, when you shoot in your raw settings and you have something, you're taking a photo when it's, you know, dark outside or there's dark areas of your photo, you can totally bring that stuff up and make it bright enough to see in your photo. And it's amazing what cameras can do. So always shoot with your raw settings.
Yes, and I'm so glad that you bring that up because many people don't know. So I'm sure whoever is listening right now and didn't realize that, I'm sure they're taking notes. And also, having a website, yeah, many people expect you to have one. And I've encountered people, not just photographers, but even graphic designers who are trying to break into the industry and you want to see their work. And when they say, oh, I don't have a website, that really, at least on my part, it makes me wonder how much they really want it, how hard they're trying if they don't have a web presence. It's an absolute must.
Yeah, it's all about the web presence now. It's the first thing someone's going to do when they want to hire you. They're going to search for you on Google. So
absolutely. Oh, yeah. Googling. I'm good at Googling people.
Yeah.
And also, in your opinion, what makes a good photo stand out from an average photo in your eyes?
Yeah. So I was thinking about this question a lot. And I was trying to think. I was like, well, you know, does it come down to composition? Is it lighting? Or
it's a tricky question.
Yeah. Is it what you're taking a picture of? But really, I think what it comes down to is what the story is behind the photo. Because you can take a photo, you know, that looks terrible, but if there's a story behind it, then I think that's what makes it a great photo and not an average photo. You know, looking back at photos from, you know, my parents' old photos from when they're kids, you know, none of them were great photographers, and the photography equipment was so different back then. You know, looking at it from like a composition or a lighting standpoint, the photo would be trash. But because it tells such a great story, that's what makes it stand out. And so that's what I try to do when I go out and take photos when I'm traveling. You know, it's more than, I'm always trying to like see what's going on, see how the people are interacting, the culture that I'm in, and trying to capture that story through photo.
That's an awesome answer. I really like that. And I can see how your video experience really ties in because you're trying to catch the story and the narrative behind it. That's awesome.
Good. Glad you like that.
Now, what is the one thing you wish you knew when you first started, I guess, dipping your toes into photography? And this can be for videography as well.
Yeah, I think this goes for both. So I think two things. One is that you have to be prepared to market yourself, and you have to learn how to market yourself. You know, you're not going to get clients just sitting back, and even if you do have a great website and you have awesome photos up on your website that show your skills, you're not going to get work unless you're marketing yourself, unless you're meeting people, unless you're, you know, going out and emailing, reaching out to people. And I was bad at that, and I'm still bad at that. I think that I'm not a good example of someone who's like going out to events, meeting people. But I think that's a skill that you have to have when you're in this kind of field where it's kind of a freelance field and you have to really find work yourself. So you have to learn how to market yourself. The other thing is that you just have to be okay with the freelance lifestyle. I mean, of course you could get a photography gig. A lot of companies, you know, have full-time photographers,
mm-hmm.
but most of photography is going to be the more freelance gigs. And so you have to be okay with that lifestyle. And it's tough because with video and photo, I did that for a while coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And it was stressful because you would get a job and it would be great, but then it would end in a couple weeks or in a day or whatever. And so then you would have to go back and look for your next job.
Exactly.
And it was really tough to like live in that kind of mindset of, oh, I always have to be working to find jobs, even when I'm not, even if you have jobs lined up, you always have to be looking for more work. And so that's kind of, I switched over to doing more full-time work for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that lifestyle is completely different. It's completely different going to a 9-to-5 job, having, you know, that steady paycheck, and that's great for some people. And I really like that actually for that time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm kind of back in the freelance mode. And I think because I've had a couple years under my belt, I have more contacts and more clients, you know, it's easier for me to find jobs. And so it's a little less stressful for me now. And I'm really enjoying the freelance lifestyle of, you know, being able to work when I want, and well, really when I can, because I try to work as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the freedom that comes with it of not having to worry about having enough vacation days to go visit my family, you know, during the holidays or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's such a good point. Also, we're coming up on the end of this interview. One of our final questions, second to the last final question, we'll say, is there a particular photography resource, tool, book, or software that you would recommend to our listeners today?
Yeah, well, I probably sound like a broken record at this point, but because I come from a video background, I would say a big resource for me and source of inspiration is watching great videos. And so the website Vimeo, Vimeo.com, they have a ton of great artistic pieces that they constantly update. So if you check out their homepage, they'll always have interesting documentaries or music videos or just, you know, artistic videos that, you know, are really inspiring for photographers. Just, you know, because you can learn kind of different angles, different types of shots. And yeah, now with like the cameras, you know, DSLR cameras, and even the more high-end cameras that you shoot video with,
mm-hmm.
Like the Red and the Alexa, you're using the same lenses that you're using for taking photos. So, you know, the blend between photo and video and the barrier between photo and video is getting smaller. Even though it's a completely different mindset, you can still learn from the other, I think.
That's a good point. And I will definitely have to check out the artistic videos on Vimeo. I will include a link to that in the show notes as well. I'm sure people have heard of it, but still, definitely good to know. So next, that brings us to the end of the interview, but I want to make sure people know where to find you, your website, your online courses. We kind of touched on your courses a little bit earlier in this interview, but I do want people to know that you have quite a few online courses out covering photography, covering video, covering a wide range. So tell us where we can find you.
Yeah, so the easiest would be my website where for my business, which is videoschoolonline.com. And that's where you will find all of my online courses. And yeah, like you said, I have courses, a lot of courses in video, but specifically for photographers, I have an Art of Travel Photography course. I have an Introduction to Lightroom, Adobe Lightroom course. I have a basic Photoshop tools course. So there's lots of courses for photographers there as well. So if you go to videoschoolonline.com, you'll find all those courses. But I also blog, I do some podcasting, I post a ton of free videos to my YouTube channel, and all that can be found through videoschoolonline.com.
awesome. I didn't realize that you have a podcast out. I'm a podcast junkie. Can I have the name of it?
Yeah. It's just the Video School Online podcast. And I, you know, I've been doing one every couple months. It's really, I haven't had enough time to really get that out there and do it regularly, but I've got mm-hmm. 7 podcasts out there now. And,
oh, very good.
And yeah.
Very good. Okay. I think you just found a new subscriber today. I will have to check that out.
Great.
Well, thank you so much for just being with us. We really, really appreciate it. And yeah, you're awesome. You're crazy productive. And I know you have just a super bright future ahead of you. So thank you so much, Phil.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I had a great time on the podcast. So if you ever want me back, I'd love to be back. And I wish you all the best.
Awesome.